As we come before the word, let's pray together. Lord, we know that we don't live by bread alone, but by the very word that comes from your mouth. And Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we ask that you would feed us this morning. Lord, help us not to be distracted by other things in life. Help us to delight in who you are as you reveal yourself in John chapter 6. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's an experience we've all shared. Hunger. You know, when you're waiting for the meal, and it just seems like it's not coming, and you're just, when are we going to eat? When is it here? And then finally, okay, now we get to eat. And you eat until you're full. And you eat so much, you feel like, I can't take another bite. And yet, I mean, it doesn't take very long before we're hungry again, right? And it happens with thirst. We can be satisfied, and all it takes is brief exercise before thirst, our desire for water, becomes our chief concern, right? Just give me some water. We have this experience of seeking after things and then not ultimately finding in them that which lasts. It's not just true with things we take into our body. It's true of possessions. You know, we want the new, the latest, the greatest. And then the thrill, it wears off. And now we want something else. Our life is filled with longings and desires, wants. And likewise, life is filled with a frustration of recognizing that all those things we seek after, they're never enough. This frustration makes it into songs. So we hear songs as this: I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Or this one: I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. Well, I have good news this morning. True, lasting satisfaction is found in Christ and in him alone. In John chapter 6, Jesus has just worked two of his most famous miracles. He has multiplied the bread for this massive crowd. He's walked across the water. And yet these two miracles, they simply serve as illustrations for what Jesus is offering in John chapter 6. So I want to invite you to turn to John 6. In a moment, I'll be reading from verse 22 and following. What we're going to see here is that Jesus is offering himself. And if we have Jesus, we have more than enough. John chapter 6, verse 22. This is the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, and infallible word. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that the disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread, and the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the word of the Lord. So here's the point of this passage of scripture. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus satisfies. It's not that he gives us what satisfies. He is what satisfies. Jesus is what you need. Jesus is the bread of life. It's not as if he came to give bread, but he actually is bread. So there in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. A little later in the chapter, verse 48, he repeats himself. He says, I am the bread of life. Then in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Over and over again, Jesus keeps saying, I'm the bread. I am what you need. So, 3 points this morning. Here's the first one. Jesus did not come to give bread, but to be bread. He didn't come to give bread, but to be bread. Now, he did give bread, right? He had just fed the multitude the day before. But that's not the main thing Jesus came to do. He came to bring lasting satisfaction. You see, he didn't come to be useful to the crowd. He came to be a treasure, to be precious to them. He didn't come to assist us in meeting the desires that we had before we were born again. He didn't come just to give us what we want. No, Jesus came to change our desires so that he would become our main desire. He didn't come to give us our natural sinful desires. He didn't come so that we could be rich and healthy, have everything we want. He didn't come so that you could have a better marriage. No, ultimately, he came to change us, to change our desires profoundly, so that Jesus is our central desire. He is the bread. He is what is precious. He is what we need. Only Jesus satisfies. Now, before we dig into this text, I want to ask you this question. I want you to think carefully through this question. Do we come to Jesus so that we can get something from him? Or do we come to Jesus so that we can get him? That's the question that this crowd needs to consider on this day. Now, don't hear me as saying that Jesus doesn't care about your physical needs. He does. He cares about your body. He cares about your need for bread. He's the one who taught us to pray to God that he would provide our daily bread. God cares about our physical concerns, but he cares more about spiritual concerns that are bigger and more important. Jesus came primarily to give himself for us. And if we have Jesus, we have more than enough. He's what we need. You see, he came ultimately so that we would treasure him and value him, that we would praise him and make much of him. He came so that we could be satisfied in him. Now, this chapter is all about Jesus being bread. He says, I am the bread of life. He's not just saying, hey, I'm a loaf of bread. This is symbolic language to teach us something important. Remember, he gave physical bread, but this was to teach them about the true bread, the bread of heaven. Now, the day after this miraculous sign where Jesus feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, the next day, the crowd comes looking for Jesus. They're seeking for him. And when they find him, Jesus responds to them a bit harshly. Look again at verse 26. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, this is interesting because the people had seen signs. So just look in your Bible, go up to verse 2. A large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. So they had seen him doing these miracles. They saw it. Look at verse 14. This is right after he's fed the multitude. The people saw the sign that he had done, and they said, indeed, this is the prophet, the one who was coming to the world. So the people had seen the signs. Well, at least they had seen the miracle. But remember, the sign, this is a word that John uses to describe Jesus' miracles, because signs do something, right? Signs point to things. These people were not seeing what the sign pointed to. They had failed to see the significance. They merely saw bread in the sign, rather than in the bread seeing the sign. Jesus says, you came not because you really saw the sign. You came because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, this word ate is interesting. It's a strong word. It means to feast. It's a word that's used to describe how animals devour their prey, right? It's as if Jesus says, I know why you're here. You're here because you pigged out yesterday, and you just want more. You're here because you got a free lunch, and you want another one. So immediately, these people are seeking Jesus, and yet Jesus goes to their motives. He says, I know why you're here. It seems as if he's upset because they're seeking him wrongly. They're seeking him as merely useful. Jesus gets me bread. Jesus gives me stuff. Jesus, he's going to give me health. He's going to give me happiness. Jesus is going to give me heaven. Well, there may be some truth in those things, but we can seek him wrongly. Jesus doesn't want to simply be one who is useful. Jesus isn't just a ticket. He actually is the destination. You see, the people, they come to him because they treasure what Jesus can give them, not because they treasure him. In verse 15, we're told that they wanted to make him king. They think what he can give them is very precious, but they don't think that he is precious. They just think, what a useful king he will be. He'll keep our bellies full. Yeah, we'll take this as our king. Now let's look how John describes their coming, their seeking of Jesus. So go back to verse 22. The next day, the crowd remained on the other side of the sea. They saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. So remember, this is leaving off the day before. The crowd sees Jesus send his disciples off in a boat. He says, no, I'm not going to be your king. He goes up onto the mountain by himself to pray. In the morning, they're like, well, where's Jesus? He's not here. We know he didn't go with the disciples. Where is he? And they search and they search. So here's the searching, verse 23. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? They come in and there he is. And they're like, now wait just a minute. How is it that you're here? When did you come? Now, how easy would it have been for Jesus to say, well, I got here at the same time as my disciples because I walked across the sea. Now, if he would have done that, the crowd would have loved it. They would have shouted, hooray, we knew it. We knew he should be the king. Not only can he fill our bellies, but he can walk across the sea. He can keep our boats afloat during storms. This man, he's got the power to defeat Rome. Yes, we want Jesus. He'll be so useful. But Jesus will have nothing of that. And so the strong correction comes. Listen again, verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you're not seeking me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Interesting. He says, you're seeking me. You're pursuing me. Stop seeking what won't last. Stop pursuing. Stop working for what perishes. Now, we need to be careful not to understand this as if Jesus is saying, you shouldn't have a job. You shouldn't work to put bread on the table. By no means. The rest of the New Testament makes it clear that we should have jobs. We should provide for our families. Well, so what is Jesus saying here? Look again, verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is saying, don't merely work to put food on the table. If that's all you're seeking after, what a waste. No, he's saying you should be seeking, you should be pursuing things that truly last, things that matter, things that are eternal. You see, this crowd comes to him and they're hungry. You know, their stomach's growling and they say, oh, there's Jesus. He's gonna give us lunch again, right? And they come and they want lunch. And Jesus says, your desire is actually far too weak. I'm offering life and you just want lunch. He's offering so much more than they see. Now let's make it personal for a moment. I want you to think with me. What do you spend your time pursuing, seeking after, striving to get? I mean, just in a given week, think about how many hours you spend seeking after things that won't last versus time you spend seeking after that which is eternal? How much time do we spend seeking to grow in godliness, to grow in holiness, to know God better, sharing the good news with others that we might see their soul in heaven throughout all eternity? And how much time do we spend making sure we pay the bills? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do those other things. We need to do physical things. We need to mow the lawn. We need to clean the house. We need to go to work. But we need to do more than that. There's more to life than what just seems to pass. Another day, another dollar. Often, we try and satisfy ourselves with things that can't satisfy us, things that never will. We seek satisfaction, fulfillment in our career, in achievements, in recognition, or in the next possession. Oh, I just have to get that, if I can just get that. Or a relationship, if I could just get married, oh, that'll be it. And then you're married, and you say, well, if we just had a kid, and okay, well, we've had a boy, now we need a girl, right? It just keeps going. I want you to think for a moment. Think about something that you're striving for, something you really want, you're working towards, but you haven't attained it. Something coming to mind yet? I'm serious. Think about something you really want, an actual thing in your mind. Now imagine that before the year is out, you achieve it. You get whatever it is that you've been longing for all this time. Tell me, will it be enough? Will it ultimately satisfy you? We all know the answer. The things of this life are never enough. Health, wealth, prosperity, success, whatever it is, it's not enough. I mean, how many celebrities have we seen? They've made it to the pinnacle of their career, and then they commit suicide. Let's look to the ultimate example. Mark your place here. Turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes 2. Solomon, one of the greatest kings of Israel. He was the king at really the height of the kingdom. Everything's going great. He doesn't have war. He has all of these possessions. He has everything that someone could want. Ecclesiastes 2 describes his seeking, his pursuit of true satisfaction. Listen to what he writes. So Ecclesiastes 2, I'm starting at verse 4. Here's what he did. I made great works. I built houses. I planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks. I planted all sorts of fruit trees. I won't read it all, but he goes on to describe pools and forests, how he had slaves, how he had many possessions. He had herds and flocks. He had silver and gold and singers. He had choirs. Come and sing to me. And he had women. It says many women. Yeah, we remember that from Solomon. Now look at verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep them from them. So whatever he saw, yes, I'll take one of those. In fact, I'll take 10 of those, right? This is what this powerful king with all these resources does. He continues, I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was the reward of all my toil. Verse 11, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil that I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So take it from this man who really did seek it all. You see, I think we know that, you know, money can't buy happiness, and yet we'd like to see what it can buy, right? Like we want it just a little bit more. We know it won't be ultimately satisfying, and yet we still seek after it. Here's one who sought it to the max. I mean, there was nothing he ever had to say no to. He took it all. He says, oh, that will bring me pleasure. Oh, that will taste sweet. And in his mouth, it all turned to ash. He recognized that the things of this world, they can never satisfy. The bread of the earth is not enough. What we need is the bread of heaven. We need food that endures to eternal life. And Jesus is offering it to us. Now, back in John 6, what Jesus is doing is he's calling the wicked to forsake their idolatry. He's calling them to repentance. Now, we don't normally think of ourselves as idolaters, right? We think idolatry, that's what someone does far, far away with a statue, you know, they're bowing down, but not me. But the New Testament describes covetousness as idolatry. When we long and we have to have this and I want that and I want that, this is a form of idolatry. You see, what we're doing is we're taking the good gifts that God has given and we're making them ultimate. We're saying this is what matters most. I have to have this. And when we make them ultimate, what we're really doing is we're putting them in the place of God. We're knocking him off of his throne and saying, this is what I must have. It's idolatry. It's elevating God's good gifts above the giver himself. So we can enjoy lots of things in this life, but we must be careful because there's this temptation to act as if they are what matter most, and they don't. You see, when we become these types of idolaters, we fit the description that Paul gives in Philippians 3, verse 19. Listen to this chilling description. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. How foolish are we to just live by our desires? Well, I want that. Okay, that's what I go for. How foolish. Jesus directs the attention of this crowd up from what perishes to what lasts, what's eternal. Look at verse 27 again. He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. So Jesus says he comes from the Father, and he has the seal of the Father on him. Now, in the ancient world, you'd have a document, and it would be sealed with a piece of wax, and the signet ring would be pushed against it. And now there was this symbol, this seal, and it authorized. It said, okay, now this document is from the king, and you see the seal, now you know. This is approved. Jesus has the Father's approval. Now, we do this with food. We see it on meat. You know, this is labeled USDA approved. Or we'll see it all kinds of things. This is organic, right? So what is that label organic? What's it supposed to be telling you? It's telling you about the quality of the food. Well, Jesus has the ultimate stamp of approval. He is the best. He is heaven's bread sent down for us. He is the Father's stamp of approval. Look at verse 28. They said to him, now what must we do to be doing the works of God? Now, Jesus had just said, don't work for what perishes, but for that which is eternal. And so they say, okay, so we've been working for the wrong things. Well, how do we work for what is eternal? How do I earn eternal life? They are mistaken. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. What work do we do? Jesus says, stop working. Just receive the gift. Remember back in verse 27, he said, the Son of Man will give it to you. It's a gift. And so they hear they need to believe. They need to trust. They need to receive the gift. This brings us to our second point. You can't work for this bread. He gives you this bread. You can't work for it. You can't earn this bread. It's a gift of God. This heavenly bread is given to us. Look again at verse 29. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Now, it's interesting. Our believing here is described as the work of God. Look at it again. This is the work of God, that you believe in him. You see, even our belief is a gift, is handed to us. So think of famously Ephesians 2, verse 8. Paul writes, by grace you are saved. Grace is a gift, right? So we are saved as a gift from God. By grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. He's saying, even our faith, it's all a gift. All of salvation is a gift, even our belief. This is fascinating. Paul does it again in Romans 12, verse 3. He says this, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So God has assigned a measure of faith. He's given you faith, and he's given you faith. This is what God does. Now, don't mishear me. We do the believing, but even our belief is a gift of God. We are enabled to believe by God Almighty. Salvation truly belongs to the Lord. So Jesus told this crowd, believe. And what do they do? They say, well, give us a reason to believe. Prove to us that we should believe you. Look at verse 30. It's crazy. Here's what they said. What sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? No, hello? Talk about amnesia. The day before, he fed the multitude, right? They had just seen a sign. They said, oh, you want us to believe. Okay, we'll believe if you do another magic trick. We want to see something else, right? In fact, they have a suggestion. Look at verse 31. Our fathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. See, they come and Jesus says, I know why you're here. You're here because you want lunch. But stop seeking that which will just merely satisfy your belly for a couple hours. And they say, okay, well, what do we do about that? He says, receive the bread from heaven. Here, I give it to you. And they say, did you say bread? Okay, yes, we want bread. Bring the bread, right? They just focused on getting more and more physical bread. They don't see the significance of what Christ has done. They think they need another trick, another magic trick. Now, it's interesting here. They refer to Moses as the one who gave them bread from heaven. Back in verse 14, they had said, he's the prophet like Moses, the one who has come. And indeed, Jesus is a better Moses. He's actually far better than they recognize. They're grumbling like the people had grumbled. And Jesus is providing, but he's providing more than they know. Look at verse 32. Jesus responds to them with these words, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So he brings them a correction. He says, okay, if you're going to bring up Moses, let's just get this straight. Moses is not the one who gave you bread. God the Father is the one who gave you the bread. But wait just a minute. What I said is not what Jesus said. Did you catch the difference? Look again. It was not Moses that gave you, past tense, gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives, present tense, gives you the true bread from heaven. He says, you're wrong about the past. Don't be wrong right now. I'm talking to you. He says, God is giving you the bread from heaven. He continues, verse 20 or 33. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So it's the bread of heaven. It's the bread of God. Verse 33 specifically gives us three things. It tells us about the source of the bread. It tells us about the purpose of the bread and the substance of the bread. So what's the source? Well, it's from God. It's the bread of God. What's the purpose? It's to give life. The bread that God gives, it gives life. And what's the substance? What is the bread? Well, it's a person. Did you see that in the text? For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus cares about our physical needs, but he came to meet an even deeper need. See, this crowd, they're so distracted by their physical need that they can't recognize their ultimate need. Think with me this morning. What is your greatest need? I mean, what do you really need? What does all of mankind really need? I'll tell you this, it's not bread, it's not food, it's not water, it's not even oxygen. Now, those things are all important, but what do we ultimately need? We need God himself. We need the forgiveness of our sins. You see, all of us have sinned against God, our good, righteous maker. He's given us life, and yet we've rebelled against him. We've refused to follow God's law. This has severed our relationship with God. What we need is someone to come and take the punishment in our place so that we can be reconciled back into a loving relationship with God. And Jesus, he meets our greatest need. This is what he came to do. He came to give himself. We must recognize who he is and what he has accomplished. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. Then he died in our place and he rose from the dead and he stands freely available to anyone who will have him, anyone who will receive him, anyone who will take him. He calls us to believe. The true bread that they need is standing right in front of them. Let's see how they respond. Look at verse 34. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. They didn't say, okay, we trust you. They said, yes, you're talking about bread. We want the bread. Can we have bread? They're like little kids in a restaurant, right? Is the food ready yet? Is it time? Can we eat now? Right? This is what they're doing. Like, yes, we had bread yesterday. We want bread again. Bring it to the table. This is what they keep saying to Jesus. You see, Jesus is talking about a spiritual reality, but they're taking it just literally, just physical. We saw the same thing back with the woman at the well. Jesus offers living water. And she says, oh yes, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming out to the well every day. Right? She missed what he was really talking about. So Jesus is now, verse 35, he's going to make it so plain, so blunt, so clear. This is really the high point of the chapter. Look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am what you need. Literally in the Greek, what it says here is the bread of life, I am, I am. We looked at this last week. This is the divine name of God, the name of Yahweh. Jesus says, yeah, the bread of life, that's me, and I'm God. I am what you need. I am what will satisfy. I am true sustenance. People seek satisfaction in so many things that cannot satisfy. They crave earthly bread that's only for momentary pleasure. Instead of the bread of heaven, the bread of life, they long for the crumbs of earth. Don't make that mistake this morning. Only Jesus satisfies. He didn't come to give you what satisfies. He came to be what satisfies. He didn't come to give bread, but to be bread. So what are we to do with this bread? Here's the third point. Eat this bread. This is what we're called to do, to take it in like we would take in bread, to take hold of Jesus, to trust him, to believe him. We're to eat this bread. We're to receive this true bread. Now, again, I mentioned how he says it again. So look over to verse 48. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness and they died. So remember, they're longing for another lunch. They said, hey man, all throughout the wilderness wandering, Moses is there with them and they keep getting bread every day. Double on Friday so they have enough for the Sabbath. I mean, it's great. God just keeps providing bread, bread, bread. And he says, yes, but what they ate, it didn't give them real life, true life. It was just life for another day. Life for another day. Verse 50, but this is the bread that comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Don't you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, come to me, take me, receive me, and I will satisfy you. So come, eat, believe, have what truly satisfies. Now, Jesus gave the people physical bread that sustained them another day, but now he's offering them that which will sustain for all eternity. See, Jesus isn't stingy. He gave the people so much. The day before, he lavished more bread than they could eat. There was leftovers, right? Everyone ate their full. There was so much. And when they come the next day hungry again, Jesus offers them that which will truly satisfy forever. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to eat this bread. You need to trust Jesus. You need to stop seeking the things of this world and seek the one who gives himself to you. I can't help but think that as Jesus was speaking these words, he was thinking of the words that were preserved for us by the prophet Isaiah. Listen to Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come. Buy, eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Do not spend your money for that which is not bread. Do not labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich foods. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear that your soul may live. These are the words of God. Isaiah continues, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. To our God that he might abundantly pardon. See, that's what we need. We need to be pardoned. And in Jesus, there's pardon. There's forgiveness. There is complete satisfaction. If you have Jesus, you have more than enough. Jesus is everything anyone ever needed. Now, if you're here, you're a Christian. What do we do with these words? How do we respond to Jesus saying, I am the bread of life? Well, brothers and sisters, you need to keep eating the bread every day. Remember, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As we come to the Lord, we are continually refreshed in that which continually satisfies. Now, the world around us, the demonic realm, even our own sinful flesh, all tells us, no, seek this, seek that. This will really make you happy. We need to fight the fight of faith and say, no, 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 I am content in Jesus. He is the one who gives me what I need. In Sunday school, we looked at Psalm 37, verse 4. Listen to these words. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's what this verse is all about. If the Lord is what you delight in, if the Lord is what you want, then the Lord will give you himself. And that's what you really need. God will give you the desire of your heart when what you desire is the Lord. Now, when we eat the bread of life, we get life. We get eternal life. But we get a lot more than that. We get Jesus. Later in John, there's a long prayer of Jesus that's recorded for us. All of John 17, we get to just eavesdrop on Jesus praying. Listen to what he prays in verse 3. John 17, 3 says this. Jesus praying to his Father says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Jesus just said, this is eternal life. So the essence of eternal life is knowing God. It's being reconciled to God, being in relationship with him. Now, escaping hell and going to heaven, those are great. But let's just see them what they are. They're fringe benefits. They're little details on the side. The greatest reward of the gospel is that we get God himself. We get to be in relationship with Jesus forever. This is unspeakably good. There's nothing better than Jesus. He is the best. There's never going to be an update. There's never going to be an upgrade. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the perfect one, and he gives himself to us fully. Trust in this one. He's the only one that truly satisfies. Jesus is the bread by which we live. And we live day by day by knowing him more through his word. So we heard read this morning, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, as we open the word of God, we are refreshed with who our God is. So Christian, let me encourage you. Keep seeking the Lord here. He will give you the desire of your heart. The truth is we were made for more than what this world has to offer. We were made to know him. Let's pray. Only you can satisfy us, Lord. We foolishly think if we just get this next thing, if we just accomplish this, if we just do this or that, then we'll finally have true lasting happiness. But Lord, we know that it's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. It's at your right hand that there are pleasures that never, ever end. Lord, you are the great reward. Lord, may we treasure you and delight in you. May we sing songs of our deliverance. For you are the God who takes sinners who don't deserve anything but damnation, and you give them life eternal. Lord, I thank you that we get the privilege of eating the bread of life. Lord, satisfy us with you always. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to remind you.